You are listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network. Call in to live News for the Soul shows daily for intuitive coaching, readings, numerology, leading edge health information, and much, much more with featured hosts from around the world. Go to newsforthesoul.com to join the next live show now. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
Right now, it's time for Spirit Speaks. Lisa Virtue is next. Let's bring her on to reintroduce herself, her show, and what's up for today. Welcome back, Lisa.
Hello, and welcome to Spirit Speaks. I'm your host, Lisa Virtue, and we have really an exciting show for you today. Spirit is coming through with our next step. We're finally at a next step. I'm so thrilled. So they've given us lots to practice, and please keep practicing. But today there's more to come. So for those of you who are just joining maybe for the first time, welcome. You're here at the perfect time for you. I'm channeling for you today, channeling the divine ones who really wish to help us, who are here to support us in this evolution that we're undergoing. And the divine ones to me is the beings, the vibrations, the essences, that are coming from a place of unconditional love, of what I like to call pure divine alignment, that pure presence, pure existence, where they are in a level of beingness that knows the greater picture, that knows what's really going on. All of the whys and the understandings that we struggle for. They're coming from that clear vantage point. And they have only our highest good as their intention to support us through this journey we're undertaking in that perfect way. And I know they'll explain that a bit more. But they are really here to support us just how we need it so that we can have this life journey that we came for. They're our best team. And for myself, just to acquaint those of you who are new, I'm Canadian and I'm currently in Costa Rica. And I've been on my spiritual journey for quite a while. Of course, it starts off small and then grows. And I remember 2007 was a year of really kicked off in an exponential way, and it only grown from there. And I've developed from what I thought was just being normal like everyone else into blossoming of all of these extrasensory abilities and perceptions and ability to connect with spirit and energy healing and all of that kind of thing, all those different modalities out there, Reiki. And moving through the phase that involved that, and now we're moving into a next phase, a next evolutionary step. And it's really exciting time to be here. So I'm here offering this channeling because I was guided to do so. That every 2 weeks I come here with almost an hour's worth of channeling for you because Spirit wants to connect, wants to help. And I'm available, of course, outside of this time as well. You can connect with me directly, lisa@lisavirtue.com. You can reach me anytime. If you have questions or challenges you want some help with. So that's who I am. And let's move into the channeling. I'm really excited today with what they have to share. So get comfortable, sit back, allow yourself to receive the message that they have to offer. Allow your mind to be open to new ideas, and you'll take what feels right for you. So I'll stop and let them come in, and I will connect with you again as Lisa at the end of the channeling. So enjoy, 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 enjoy. Until later. Hello, we welcome you. We are so very pleased to have you as our guests to listen to what we have come to share with you on this day. It is very important that we have these regular connections, so that we may become more greatly accustomed with each other, that you may feel you have a partner, an ally. Our desire is to fully embrace the positive flow of energetics and well-intentioned that lead your species, your planet, your races to the harmony that they have been seeking for so long. That you have come upon this time of change, of challenge, this threshold, and you have chosen to meet it with great positivity. That you have chosen something beyond what you have previously understood. You know in your own self that something exists for you as an improved way of experiencing. Our challenge, is the word you would use, has been to assist you, yet allowing the natural flow, which, of course, we aren't seeing it in the way of challenge as you would see. There have been so many questions, certainly lately, wondering where the help is from above, from the unseen realms. Where are you in our time of crisis? And we are ever present. We hold the best view for you. We stay in our divine alignment, as we call it for you. We have a greater understanding of what is possible, of how much you are actually capable of. And we also understand the wide sweeping benefits that everything that goes on actually has. And so we are here establishing these dialogues with you to encourage you, to help you hear, the validation that you find useful to support you in what you know is accurate in your own inner being. The adventures that you encounter have so much purpose behind them, yet it can feel so dark at times to you. And so we have an appreciation of that. And we totally empathize and understand how you could feel abandoned or neglected by something that you deem more powerful than yourself. Yet we feel that by coming here and speaking to you to remind you of who you are, to give you an idea of which you are capable, of what you are capable, to help you to recall that strength, the magnificence, the wonder, the divine, the positive energies within you, to establish within yourself where you are in your realm of physicality, that you have the power, the control to make the changes that you wish to see. We are here to return your power to you that you took from yourself. And we simply do that through helping you become aware of it. And we have many different ways of helping you to become aware, and this is one of those ways. So we feel it's imperative that you reclaim this power that you have. Reclaim your dominion over that which you have released it to. And how do you do that? And what does that involve? You have come a long way already. And so you have been investigating how you can shift and change your own personal life experience. And your investigations have led you to many ideas and concepts that you no longer wish to hold to. And many of these ideas you have become sensitive to in terms of feeling that you have been being run by them, and you are becoming aware that they did not originate in your inner essence, they did not originate in your perception of what is valid for you. And so you have seen the evidence of how continuing with those patterns of thought and behaviors have ultimately become detrimental to your sense of well-being. So this is a very good awareness that you have come into, and we are pleased that you have seen this to whatever degree that you have come. But what can you do to take it further? What is beyond this original step? What lies beyond this is a change in focus. So it has served you to this stage to hone in on the ideas that were causing you challenge. to pick them out one at a time and deal with them. And you may still find sometimes that's helpful. But you have been ramping up in this time of change. The energies moving much faster, more elevated. You have come very far. And so now we recommend a shift in your a procedure. And this is more holistic. This is an embracing of yourself as an entire consciousness. So you have focused on this lifetime and perhaps some threads through other lives and other past relations, these kinds of past life regressions and other kinds of healing modalities. Now, how you move forward that serves you better is to see how your entire essence is non-physical in nature and spans all time and space. So there is not just simply this incarnation. You are an entire essence beyond simply this. And so, as such a consciousness, you have far greater control than is allotted to the one experience in this life you're listening to this channeling through. So you may have already thought about this on an intellectual level, but we are asking to begin moving into a more practical level with it. Now, before you protest, we understand how challenging this could seem to you from where you're currently looking. But allow us to assist you, to encourage you, to support you. What does it mean in your practical life? The fact that you are more than you ever imagined also brings the idea that there is more available to you. So, coming with the thought that you entered this experience of limited world not just to live your entire lifetime within its limited boundaries and scope, believing that you have come for transformational time, that you have come to experience and to participate in this broad awakening, awakening from confined, limited existence into idea, into sensation, into another level of experiencing that is far broader. where you may experience that transition, that merging. There will be a merging of your day-to-day physical life and a greater concept of self and experience. This is a very intriguing time, a very intriguing transformation. Would you not agree? This idea of both being present in physical and the greater non-physical in your conscious awareness. Very, very interesting time. And so taking it that one bit at a time that you're able, beginning to introduce the concept to yourself at first. What does this mean, this greater self? Well, this means that I have no limits, that I am the far-reaching spirit, that within my essence is all things. And so all love is also within me. The understanding of beingness. It is the diminishment of separation thought that we are moving you, encouraging you towards. So you are able to witness the realm of separation. And start witnessing from a different vantage point that realm of separation. In a sense, like you may have heard the expression, to be in it but not of it. You are able to move and be and interact within it, and at the same time, able to step back and see it from a less attached an engulfed vantage point. And going back and forth at the beginning. So this comes in stages, dear ones. This is not coming about in one fell swoop. The exploration of the stages is important. Great understandings come from this exploration, a greater depth of experience, knowledge base from the physical standpoint, opportunity for new vantage points for expression of your uniqueness from the spirit's viewpoint. So open to you now is a greater expanded sense of self. So start by simply exploring how that is for you, how it feels, what the sensations are like, how you are able to access that better now. then begin exploring, integrating that sense of greater beingness into movement in your day, more than simply the seated contemplation or meditation. So this experience is not meant to simply be one of esoteric contemplation. It is about moving in your realm in new ways to bring about new paths. You are still eager to explore this lifetime, and so you are operating within it as you are stepping more into remembering your more expanded essence. And as we mentioned earlier, this gives you more power again. And we, of course, aren't speaking about power in terms of your political systems or power over anyone else. This is your self-confidence, you might call it. This is your inner knowing, standing more in the forefront. This looks like you pulling yourself from some ideas that have been controlling you, and instead finding that expanded gentleness that's your nature, and having that replace the fears and the worries and the doubts. And how does this come about? It comes as you settle more and more into relationship with your inner essence and the feeling of it, and how wonderful that feels, how natural that feels, and becoming aware that the rest of it is not feeling that way for you. And so you begin naturally to want to be in that good feeling place more and more. So it becomes easier to release that which is causing you suffering and step back from it. Or each time you do, it reinforces how it is more pleasing to you. And you see, even if it was just a brief flash of a moment, you become aware that you need not keep being run by this, programming these ideas, conditions. So how now to move forward? We have been offering the guidance of connecting with your inner essence. And we hope that some of you have practiced this to some degree, for it is part of the stage. It is an aspect of this transformation. If you are simply expecting to shift in a snap, then we apologize, but that's not what you chose. There's greater purpose to your journey than that quick transition. So we recommend, instead of feeling bad about yourself and that decision that your essence made, to instead recognize that your essence would only make the absolutely perfect, magnificent decision for you. Could you imagine that your pure essence could ever choose something negative for you that wasn't good for you, that wasn't wanted on your spiritual level? It's not possible. Everything is contributing. Everything has so much behind it that you have not been able to grasp yet, and that is fine. It's not meant for grasping in the moment. But begin to find a greater self-trust to believe that your essence is really bringing you along the way that it wants to, that it feels is perfect for you. It is you. How could you lead you astray? You could not. If you were in your only human thinking mind that gets confused, of course that part of you could run around in circles, panicked. But we say your inner essence is your guiding light, is your guiding compass. And so take the time to become more familiar and practice with it so that you can develop this trust of yourself. For as you do sense and connect and follow along with what's feeling like your inner guidance, it will naturally build your trust and confidence because you will feel it and you will know it and you'll sense it. And you will experience it in your life. We have been waiting quite a while for you to get to this stage in your life terms. We are thrilled to be here with you. You are fully and completely capable of this exploration of transformation. So, knowing that you are, start trusting yourself more. The less resistance to your own inner knowing, the smoother you'll find it. And you may need to work through that inner battle for prominence, where the ways that you have been are not comfortable letting go. But trust. Take those steps. Start to believe that you will feel, it will always feel good, it will always feel better and right when you are aligned. That's how you know. So when you have more of that foundational connection, then the next step becomes easier. Of expanded awareness. Many of you are there already, opening, simply opening to allow that you are far more and that all of that is available to you right now. Always has been and always will be, but you are coming online with your awareness of it. And it will come online in the perfect amount, the perfect timing, and in the perfect ways. So for those of you who feel you are right there at that gate, begin to drop the idea that you need to be any certain way. To unravel the constructs of how things have been. To hold a distance from that. As you are holding that distance, there is space. You will begin to perceive that space is filled with you. That what may have felt like it would be empty is not empty. But the vibrational frequency compared to the density of the thought forms you are releasing is quite dramatic. And so it is your filters of perception from the density that believe there is only emptiness. And so as you start to separate from that density, just releasing your grip, its hold, to step back. You begin to tune more easily into that subtle essence. And as you have more time with this subtle essence, it becomes more easy to perceive and is clearer to you. At some stage, you may find that some of the density feels uncomfortable. But this too will pass. This is part of a stage of that you are moving through, and you can move through it quite quickly. You needn't hold on to discomfort. It is more your growing awareness of the discordant within that density, and that it starts to feel less pleasing. Now, this is simply part of your discernment, and it helps you actually. It helps in your ability to tune in and to continue choosing your alignment, because that which no longer suits is not comfortable to bear as much. And so it's easier to steer yourself in an aligned path, aligned route, as it feels more comfortable with less displeasure. Now, we will speak to you again about methods for embracing this opening of yourself to your greater awareness and stepping from allowing the power that you have to be diluted or focused in a way that's not where you are choosing any longer. We will speak more on this. But for now, opening to the idea and taking some steps into testing those waters and trying it out. And it is all right if it feels strange or difficult as you begin. Most things begin this way, do they not? Where you go from a stage of not knowing anything about it into starting to try this new thing. So be kind to yourself. Think of it more as a beautiful adventure, the next stage of your grand adventure. And isn't it going to be fun to explore how it unfolds? Well, that is a good way to look at it, exploring the unfolding. And please do your best to avoid thinking that just being at the end is the ideal and and you would just suffer through the process. Please, it is not the case. It is not your desire to jump to the end. You already exist as that. This is an exploration of moving into that, of discovering it. And the juicy beingness. The words are hard to describe, but there is a great significance to stepping through the feeling of discovery of your pure self. So it is meant to be experienced. So we offer an idea to be pleased that you are able to be here in this time frame, undergoing this beautiful time of transition and discovery of who you are in such a deep and profound level. We are with you. We are always here supporting and offering guidance as you are sometimes able to receive. We do not stop. We simply keep offering, and you tune in when you are able. We love you so very, very much. Please have hope for yourself. It is available to you that this could be the most beautiful time of your life experience so far. Simply allow yourself to be open to such new ways of looking at things. All right, until we speak to you again in a couple of weeks, we hope you can practice in the meantime and then step forward with us another step in your practice. Next time. Goodbye for this moment until we meet again. I wish to thank the beautiful beings that came through helping us move to another stage. How amazing. I'm so thrilled that we are able to undergo this in our lifetime. It really is quite an adventure, a blessing, a challenge. Life certainly is interesting, isn't it? So as I'm slowly coming around to half merged here, I simply invite you to really step into the exercise, the homework. And I look forward to meeting with you when it's right for us to connect. I'm available here for you when that time calls. You may feel right now compelled. Now is the time, Lisa. So step forward. Trust yourself in that. Take the action. Send me an email. Or you might feel, I feel it coming. And then when you feel it in that time, that's when you take your action. I want you to trust yourself to listen to your inner guidance. I'm simply here right now just letting you know I'm available, letting you know that I exist, that I have a resource that might be helpful to you. It's you who is the one that can feel your guidance when it's time to connect with myself or with anyone. You will know it. I really look forward to when you feel that and say, I am really feeling that everything is just compelling me to meet with Lisa, because it really excites me to connect with other people who are going through these transformations and who really desire to do this, to do this inner work that helps the planet. What a gift we have to walk each other home. Home to our reawakening to ourselves. So I have lots of different ways that we can work together, and that is evolving. And let's just talk and explore that, and we'll let ourselves be guided. I have so many tools in my tool belt, but Spirit is always bringing through new things just as they're needed, perfect for whoever I'm connecting with. So let's see what they have in store for you that will help you right where you're ready to make a shift in your life. I'm so excited. I hope you're excited too. This is quite a time we're living in. Let's take that positive, excited viewpoint. It certainly feels much better than the other options. So please do reach out and connect with me, lisa@lisavirtue.com, and my website, lisavirtue.com. And of course, you can connect on Instagram, which is Lisa Virtue Yoga, or Facebook, Lisa Virtue 01. However you are comfortable connecting, let's meet in this spiritual community and have the conversations that are needed right now. Until we connect again. Namaste.
The News for the Soul Radio Network airs daily, and our archives are always totally free. Go to newsforthesoul.com to join the next live show now. That's newsforthesoul.com. News for your soul. Life-changing broadcasts to souls around the world since January 1997. Next on the News for the Soul Radio Network, it's the Whole Health Initiative with Dr. Holly. With more degrees than a thermometer, Dr. Holly's PhDs include psychology, nutrition, natural medicine, advanced Ayurvedics, and more. Dr. Holly is a scientist, the author of 17 books, and a professional international speaker. She also sees and works with energy, and she's here now to help you achieve complete optimal health. Welcome, Dr. Holly, to News for the Soul.
Hi, everyone. You got me last hour, you got me this hour, I think. Nicole ran a repeat of last week in this past hour for myself, for Dr. Holly, Whole Health Integration. I've just been on a couple of things. Number one, I don't have any Wi-Fi this morning. I am cut off, shot is having a problem. And so I'm doing everything by memory and on phone, and I've already done a couple programs this morning, and it's like, holy cow, how do I do all this without having my computer? This is very difficult. So I did have an article written up for you for this week, but, of course, I can't get it out because I don't have any internet. So some of what I'm going to tell you today is a repeat of last week. Some of it is entirely different. You have your choice. First off, as I have done for the last 2 weeks, I believe, I'm going to go over some actual statistics. They're calling this a pandemic. So far, worldwide, we have 420,000 cases, and we have somewhere between 18,000 and 20,000 deaths. That sounds like a lot. Put it into perspective, it's actually very small. Once again, we're sorry for all those who have lost people, but most of them are seniors who have pre-existing conditions. So let's look at some stats again. If we look at the flu, quote, flu season, and I use that term loosely, which is usually considered from October to April, of 2017 to 2018, 45 million were diagnosed with the flu in the U.S. alone. Not around the world, the U.S. 45 million. Not 400,000 million. And when you look at that number, let's, again, I think I've gone over this each time, but this isn't including the people who don't even know that they're carrying the flu bug, which is usually, depending on the stats, you can say anywhere between 20 and 30 or 20 to 40%. You've got those who feel a little off and just ignore it. You've got those who are sick, but, you know, they have the stiff upper lip and just carry on. They stay home from work, perhaps, but they don't necessarily go to a clinic or a doctor. So when we say that 5 million, that is a low number. But keep that in mind, 45 million in the U.S. alone, okay? Out of that 45 million, 21 million had medical visits, 810,000 had related hospitalizations, and 80,000 died. Now, I've got in the two different numbers, 61,900 died, and then 80,000 died. And that's a, I would think, a big discrepancy, but that's pulling information together from different sources after the fact. So I've given you references for both of those. That's just in one flu season, million. And 80,000 deaths. We only have 400,000 with the COVID around the world. And maybe 20,000 deaths at this point. If we look at prior years in the U.S., 2011-12, and 56,000 deaths in 2012-13. Again, we're not reaching anywhere those numbers around the world. So a lot of our viewers are Canadian. I thought, okay, well, let's do Canada as well. Influenza and pneumonia. Pneumonia, remember, that just means inflammation of the lungs, so that could be anything. 85,000 people died or were diagnosed in 2018. Wow. In Canada currently, we have this number was from a couple of days ago, so it might not be updated. I didn't look today. Sorry, because I don't have the Wi-Fi and internet. But around 3,000 cases and 26 deaths. In the U.S., 53,000 cases, 687 deaths. That's quite a bit off now. And worldwide, 420,000, and I think it's 20,000 deaths. 20,000 worldwide, and they're calling it a pandemic, when 80,000 died in the U.S. alone in 2017-18. Holy cow. So I've given you some references of that. And with all my information, I'm always trying to give you as much reference information as you can so you can go and do the research yourself. I'm always encouraging people, please go and do your research. Just because I said it, have a herd mentality. Go and look. And same with anything that you hear on the news, the radio, all the different media that's out there. Don't have a herd mentality. I'll give you a little piece of information just off the side here. A lot of people have a lot of knowledge about their job or their work or whatever they have a passion about, but they don't necessarily develop what's called upper cognitive management skills. That's your intellect, entirely different than knowledge. And upper cognitive management skills or developed intellect requires objective perspective, critical analysis, abstract reasoning, et cetera, et cetera. That means that you look at things and you actually question them. You don't just have the herd mentality like we seem to be having around the world today and just follow what you're told on the news. Let's not forget, all those news programs are making a ton of money. They're breaking records. with their viewership right now. They're going to milk this program, this COVID issue, like the proverbial cow. I mean, they're a business. That's what they're designed to do. That's why you get all negative news, because people listen to the negative. Okay, recent history of fear tactics with pandemics. One other thing, this is taken from Dr. Mercola's article, and I just I went to get the reference for this. This is the name of the article, Novel Coronavirus, the Latest Pandemic Scare. I actually don't have the reference for it. I just have the name for it. I went to pull it up for you, and, of course, I don't have my Wi-Fi. So I've given you the name of the article. None of the animals in the market, remember that Wuhan market that they said the coronavirus started from? None of the animals in the market were found to have COVID. Back in 2005, the headlines warned the U.S. was facing a cataclysmic extermination event with a calculated 2 million Americans succumbing to the bird flu. 2 million succumbing to the bird flu, but we had 45 million diagnosed with the flu last year. The best-case scenario had a total death of 200,000. The same scare tactics were used with the 2009 swine flu outbreak. In 2014, U.S. were told Ebola might take over the U.S. Then it was the pertussis outbreak. In January 2015, it was the measles in Disneyland. In January 2016, it was Zika, followed by more pertussis. 2017-18, it was the influenza, and then back to the measles again in 2019, and now we have the coronavirus. Interesting. All these scares, and they're not adding up. They never come anywhere near the predicted numbers. Isn't that interesting? Now, a big thing I had right from the beginning of this, of course, is the germ versus the terrain theories. They've been going on since 1800s. Early 1800s. Actually, germ theory was part of traditional Chinese medicine. If we go back, I think it was around 300 AD. Germ theory came and went, and now here it is again. So let's just do a little bit of understanding of this germ versus terrain. What is that all about? In the 1800s, Bouquet was a French scientist who argued with Pasteur, the other way around, whichever way you want to look at it. They debated on whether it was the germ or the terrain that caused the disease. Now, Bouchon said it had terrain, but Pasteur argued throughout his life, no, it was the germ. The thing is, at the end of his life, they say on his deathbed, Pasteur actually acknowledged that Bouchon was right. The argument still goes on today and actually has been out of the high courts in Germany. Well, I think I put that in here too. That was a great case. We'll get to that. That has never been proven. Germ theory has never been proven. Okay? Bacteria, like our cells, can be altered depending on their environment. Now, that's kind of what that reminds me of is like our stem cells. We produce stem cells. Those are the originator cells in our body. But you can produce a stem cell in your big toe. And if the blood takes it, say, to your heart, it will develop into a heart cell. You take it to the brain or the kidney or the liver. It will develop into the cell in accordance with its terrain, its environment. Well, bacteria are like that as well. Imagine that. Now, viruses are a whole other thing. We'll get into this in and out of it throughout this article. Viruses have actually never been identified. Fine, at least I have never found a medical book, a journal, whatever, that actually shows a virus. You can with bacteria. But viruses are always created images, and they're said to be inside the cell. Side of the coin is that they say 45% of our DNA is dependent on viruses. Okay, so let's take that back a little bit. Historically, the last 100 years, we came up with what's called antibiotics because it was presumed that bacteria, those germs, all were bad and all caused disease. That's the basis of the germ theory. But now we find just in our gut alone, forget about the rest of the body, just the gut alone, has over 35,000 different groups of bacteria that are good for us. Viruses, but they were all still bad. No, we know that 45% of our DNA is viral. It goes against the whole composite theory, not composite theory, this whole philosophy that all bacteria, viruses, etc. are bad for us. They're not. But they do change, and they can change according to their terrain. Isn't that interesting? Okay, around 8% of our genome, our DNA, RNA, is derived from sequences that have a similarity to infectious retroviruses. Now, there are various things, like even HIV is retroviruses. Most of your flus and cold viruses are considered to be retroviruses. Okay? And that's been known for years and years and years. Holy cow. Did you know that? Most people don't. All right, these physicians, ask physicians, do you know this stuff? No, they don't. It's amazing. Now, back in the, it was around 1920s, it had to be before that, 1905, I even wrote it in there. The Nobel Prize for research in tuberculosis was given to Robert Koch, who identified four criteria to be met in order to identify a virus as infectious. The organism must be present in every case. Well, that's never the case. And just think about it. I think the oldest analogy I've ever heard is if you were all standing in a pond that was loaded with malaria and you all got bitten, only a percentage of the people are actually going to develop malaria. Isn't that interesting? Why? Why doesn't everybody get it? The organism must be isolated. Well, viruses are really hard to isolate. Bacteria are easy, but not viruses. The organism must cause disease in the healthy host, and then it must be isolated again. Well, the problem is most virus infections or diseases have not gone through cautious four steps, including the measles. Holy cow, we'll get to that again. I think I already mentioned that. Very interesting. So what is a virus? I think the general rule of thumb is a bacteria can be anywhere from 10 to 100 times bigger than a virus. A bacteria, like a protozoa or a mold or a yeast or what have you, those are considered live. But a virus is not considered to be alive. A virus is a series of DNA and RNA that's surrounded by some protein, and some of them have an added lipid layer. Now, the interesting thing is, despite the fact it's not considered alive, they're considered to be a molecular parasite. But they can't replicate in and of themselves. They have to get into our cells, or whatever plant or animal they're seemingly, quote, infecting, and use the host cell DNA in order to replicate, because they don't have enzymes to do the replication. Isn't that interesting? So, what are viruses there for? Well, I love the research that shows viruses have two primary functions, variation and adaptation. And some would argue all the evolution that we have seen throughout history is due to viruses. Now, others will say, well, no, it's the weather, and then the viruses have to interact in the system so that the system can adapt to different weather patterns, etc. So viruses are all seemingly included in some way. Now, know that we've already said viruses can need your DNA to replicate. They not only need your DNA to replicate, but they replicate in accordance to the environment, just like bacteria, just like our stem cells, has all of those organelles, you know, all those different organelles. Well, we often talk about is the mitochondria, and the mitochondria produces all the fuel so the cell can function. Well, it also produces proteins. And if those proteins are different, if the enzymes are basically proteins, they're made up of proteins, amino acids, a given environment can allow that cell to develop into a cancer cell, or into an anti-cancer cell, depending on the environment. Isn't that interesting? I've given you another reference about how bacteria can be isolated, but the virus can't. It has to be identified within a host tissue, and it can't be identified with an infectious one, can't be identified within a healthy host tissue. Isn't that interesting? Viral infections are important during childhood so that we develop our immune system. So I've given you a quote here. Let's read it. Latent non-symptomatic herpes virus can help natural killer cells. So killer cells are part of your immune cells. They go after carcinogenic cells. When we talk about transfer factor, we can increase your natural killer cells 453% within 5 days. It's phenomenal if you have a really good one like we do. Anyway, they can identify cancer cells and cells infected by other pathogenic viruses. They are the natural killer cells with antigens, foreign substance that can cause an immune response in the body that will enable them to identify tumor cells. So it's important in our childhood that we actually have viruses. That's an interesting concept. I thought they were all bad. Nope, obviously not. So just like at once all bacteria were considered bad, and then now we need them, same has occurred with viruses. Now, Dr. Rudolf Virchow, I'm not sure that I ever say his name right. It could be Virchow, Virchow. He said, quote, "If I could live my life over again, I would devote it to proving that germs seek their natural habitat, diseased tissues, rather than being the cause of disease." He's actually considered the father of modern pathology, and he would devote his life to proving that germs seek a natural habitat, i.e. a diseased tissue. So one of the analogies I've heard associated with him and his philosophy, which again is we're back to the germ versus the terrain, the flies don't cause the garbage. The garbage causes the flies. Kind of like, actually, if we take another sidetrack, cholesterol. Cholesterol has been identified by many as the firemen at the site. They're not causing the problem. So when you have cholesterol plaque in a blood vessel, if you're older and that blood vessel breaks and the body can't heal it fast enough, the liver sends off a special package of cholesterol and packs it up. Because it's better to have the cholesterol there than to bleed to death. They're the firemen at the fire. They're not causing the fire. Now, we have that on a number of different levels. All right, another misconception. Oh, this is a really good one. I don't know why I put it in here, but I did. Don't stop your runny nose or your cough or your fever or your diarrhea. Because this is your immune system doing what it's supposed to. It's burning out the fever. It's eliminating the fever. It's coughing it out. It's eliminating it through your digestive tract. It's getting rid of the pathogen. Okay? So your fever will burn it out. Your cough spits it out. Your breath spits it out. Your runny nose gets the mucus and grabs it and brings it out. And your diarrhea limit. Those are all great ways for your immune system to naturally get rid of something that's pathogenic. But what do we do in Western society, Western conventional medicine? You take a drug and you stop the immune system from functioning. Why? And on top of that, if you take an antibiotic, which when we know they give tons of antibiotics for viral infections and mold infections and what have you, that has nothing to do with. But even if it was bacteria, those antibiotics are killing all the good guys as well as all the bad guys. And we desperately need those good guys. So why would you take an antibiotic? Why not let the body do what it was designed to do and help it along? Much more sense. Quoted Dr. Alan Cantwell. He's a virologist. And he wrote, this is off with the SARS. "The mysterious SARS butte virus is a new virus never before seen by virologists. This is an entirely new illness with devastating effects on the immune system, and there's no known treatment. Dr. Cantell also noted that the genetic engineering of the coronaviruses has been occurring in both medical and military labs for decades. That brings in a whole different component. He wrote that when he searched for PubMed for the phrase coronavirus genetic engineering, he was referred to 107 scientific experiments dating back to 1987. So giving all this information on the germ versus the terrain and what exactly is a virus compared to a bacteria, but now we're dealing with something different. Quote, again, this is Dr. Cantell. Quote, I quickly confirmed scientists have been genetically engineering animal and human coronaviruses to make disease-producing mutant and recumbent viruses for over a decade. No wonder WHO, the World Health Organization, scientists identified the SARS coronavirus so quickly. Never emphasized by medical news writers is the fact that for over 40 years, scientists have been, quote, jumping species with all sorts of animal and human viruses and creating chimera viruses, i.e. viruses composed from viruses of two species. This unsupervised research produces dangerous man-made viruses, many of which have potential as bioweapons. Certainly, SARS has the hallmarks of a bioweapon. After all, aren't new biological warfare agents designed to produce a new disease with a new infectious agent? As in prior military experiments, all it might take to spread SARS is an aerosol can, quote, unquote. But from the same article, and yes, I have given you the reference for this article, goes on to say, almost immediately upon receiving the genome sequence, several Russian scientists suggested a link between SARS and biowarfare. Sergio Konoskov, a member of the Russian Academy of Medical Sciences, said the propagation of the SARS virus might well have been caused by Lee Combat virus grown in a bacteriological weapons lab. That's rather interesting. Further in the article, it says, it wasn't widely reported, but it seems the final conclusion of the Chinese biochemists was the same, that the SARS virus was man-made. Remember all the marketing we got, all the publicity, and yes, you had to go and get your vaccination for it, and people that should get it were women that were pregnant or immunocompromised people, children. Actually, those three groups were the most that died from the vaccination. Holy cow, now they're suggesting maybe it was man-made? The conclusion wasn't a secret, but neither was it promoted to the international media, since they would simply have said, abused the claim to heap scorn on China, dismissing this as a paranoid conspiracy theory. The Western media totally ignored this aspect, except for ABC News, who reported that the SARS, quote, mystery virus, unquote, was possibly, quote, a Chinese bioweapon that accidentally escaped the laboratory. The Chinese were furious to learn that Americans were collecting Chinese DNA. The government intervened and prohibited the further export of any data. The conclusion at that time was that the research had been commissioned by the U.S. military with the DNA samples destined for race-specific bioweapon research. That provokes a lot of questions, don't you think? Okay, finally, in the same article, this article I think is like 10 pages, but the reference is there for you. Recent disease outbreaks that would seem to possibly qualify as potential biowarfare agents are AIDS, SARS, MERS, bird flu, swine flu, hantavirus, Lyme disease, West Nile virus, Ebola, polio, foot and mouth disease, Gulf War syndrome, and Zika. Holy cow, when I read that, it was like, wow, that's And in fact, thousands of prominent scientists, physicians, virologists, and epidemiologists on many continents have concurred that all these viruses were lab-created and their release deliberate. The recent swine flu epidemic in China has the hallmarks as well, with circumstantial evidence of the outbreak raising only more questions. Whew, cow. Go to more research, Holly. Hold on a minute. Whether we look at SARS, MERS, bird flu, swine flu, etc., they never reached anywhere near the predicted pandemic numbers that were being marketed on the news. Isn't that interesting? And again, many of those numbers, especially when we look at ones like SARS and MERS in particular, because they're part of the coronavirus family, they're way, way lower than the numbers in the regular flu season. So then we have to ask at this point, is there such a thing as a flu season? Next segue. We have viruses and bacteria and protozoa and molds and yeast and all this stuff in our bodies all the time. Even cancer cells, for crying out loud. They say we make 1 million cancer cells a day. This is ongoing all year round. Flu season, quote, unquote. What is important is our immune system, the terrain of the cells. Is your immune system, your IgG, your IgA, your IgM, all your different types of T cells and B cells and your natural killer cells? We have all these different types of cells in our immune system. Are they up? Are they active? Are they functioning? Are they protecting you? Are they killing off what they need to kill off, eliminating different things that they need to eliminate? What is your immune system doing, both in your body, in your gut, in an individual cell? The terrain is so important year round. Okay? If we look at symptoms, well, we do have to look at those because people are scared. Remember, 20 to 30% may not even know they ever have the flu. Many with this particular one, they say you can have it for 10, 12, 14 days and not even know that you had it, which is why they're trying to isolate people because healthy people may be carrying it. Well, normally healthy people carry it. This isn't any different. 20 to 40% of any flu season, or in any flu season, 20 to 40% of the people are carrying the bug. That's normal. This isn't something abnormal, people. This is standard. Why are they promoting it as if it's something unusual or different or unique? It's not. But the typical flu symptoms are fever, fatigue, sore throat, shortness of breath, and dry cough. Holy cow. Who is at greater risk? The same people that are always at greater risk, regardless of the flu that goes around. If you're a senior and you have pre-existing conditions in particular, if you have cardiovascular issues, respiratory issues, and diabetes issues, you are going to be at higher risk. If you are immunocompromised, you are going to be at higher risk. And there's a couple of reasons why. Number one, if you're immunocompromised, your immune system isn't up and functioning. Golly gee whiz. You don't have the same ability as the next guy to fight the regular flus that are bugs like bacteria and viruses and protozoas and whatever that are going around. Golly gee whiz. That's normal. That makes sense. But there's an added factor here, and I think I've brought this up the last couple of weeks. If you have cardiovascular and or diabetes and or respiratory issues and or arthritic conditions, typical of most of our seniors, they're going to be on medications. Holy cow. Golly gee whiz. What do we know about medications? Well, most medications, in fact, some people say 99.5% pharmaceutical drugs deplete the body of nutrients. Ooh, you think that might affect your immune system? 48%, 250 most commonly prescribed drugs cause cancer. You think your immune system? We know the mitochondria is hugely important in any cell. If you haven't heard it, I've said it a thousand, maybe times, maybe a little exaggerated. Your mitochondria in a basic cell, they say you'll have between 1,500 and 500 mitochondria in a heart cell or a brain cell. You may have upwards of 10,000 mitochondria. The reason you have so many in a given cell is they produce the fuel for the cell. It's called ATP, adenosine triphosphate. You need that fuel to function. Enzymes require fuel to do anything. 98% of your 10,000 enzymes in the body require ATP. The remaining require ADP, which is one less phosphate. What's the number one cause of mitochondrial dysfunction? Hold on a minute. We also have all our ATPs. ATPs. We also have, what I meant to say was herbicides, insecticides, pesticides, POPs. They all cause problems. If we've got too many free radicals, they can cause a problem. If we have heavy metal toxicity, whether it's the mercury or the lead or the aluminum or, you know, umpteen other heavy metal toxicities, environmental toxicities, et cetera, yes, they can all cause damage to the mitochondria. But the number one leading cause of mitochondrial dysfunction are pharmaceutical drugs. Okay, so let's step back a moment. In the U.S., these stats are from the U.S., if between the ages of 60 and 64, the average person has 15 different prescriptions in a given year. That's the average. Holy cow. If you're between the ages of 80 and 85, the average number of prescriptions per year goes up to 18. Those prescriptions are causing nutrient deficiency. Those prescriptions are causing toxicity. Those prescriptions are hard on the liver and the gut. Those prescriptions are causing mitochondrial dysfunction. Do you not think it is logical that senior citizens with pre-existing conditions are going to be the ones that are the hardest hit? Of course, it's logical. It makes sense. This is nothing new. This is standard around the world all the time. If you're immunocompromised, typically you're going to be on drugs and you're up against the same thing. Isn't that interesting? Can't I get a little bit passionate about this stuff? Just a little? Okay. Now we're about the testing. Oh, that just dropped.